Digital Free Thought Radio Hour.
First, I was a Catholic girl. Loved the mass. I watched the swirl of smoke from candles burning, while Mary looked up yearning. I got confirmed and I confessed. I really felt that I was blessed. Plus, I loved my uniform. So did the boy who lived next door. But something changed when I became of age. And all those things I thought were true, someday I'd break the big taboo.
Welcome to Digital Free Thought Radio Hour. Let me check my levels here. This is Larry Rhodes, your Doubter 5, on WOZO Radio 103.9 LPFM, live right here in Knoxville, Tennessee. Today is August 15th, 2018, at 7 o'clock p.m. And if you're not listening at that date and time, then you're not listening to the live show. You either listen to a rebroadcast or the podcast. Anyway, I'm Doubter 5, and as usual, we will have Wombat on the phone a little bit later. He's not got home from work yet, but he'll call us as soon as he does, and we'll patch him right on in. Digital Free Thought Radio Hour is a call-in talk radio show about atheism, free thought, rational thought, humanism, and the sciences. And conversely, we also talk about religion, religious faiths, gods, holy books, and superstition. And if you get the feeling that you're the only non-believer in Knoxville, well, you're just not. There are several atheist, free-thinking, and rationalist groups that exist here in Knoxville, and I'll be telling you how you can connect with them right after the mid-show break. Matter of fact, I may do it a little bit early this time because we're waiting on Wombat. Also, did you know that there's been an atheist call-in television show broadcasting right here in Knoxville? It has been for over 8 years. That's right. It's on right now, matter of fact. It's on every Wednesday night, excuse me, from 6:30 to 7:30 on Comcast Channel 12 and Charter Channel 192. You can watch it streaming online if you want to at ctvknox.org, or you can find archive of some of our shows on YouTube where a fan has been posting them. To watch our TV show on YouTube, just go there and search for three words, Free Thought Forum Knoxville. And if you're interested in getting involved with the TV or this radio show, just come to an Ask Meetup or RET meeting and talk to us about it. You could be our next co-host or guest. let's see. Yes, there's the, I wanted to tell everyone about the groups that we have here in Knoxville, but first let me introduce my guest. Peggy, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Larry.
I want to make sure I'm getting some good levels over here. Can you say hello again?
Thank you for having me, Larry. Hello.
Okay. It's lighting up, but not very strong, but we'll go with that.
Okay.
Could be that you're just a kind of a bashful, shrinking violet.
Oh, yeah. That's me.
Okay, well, I'm going to push mine up then. Anyway, let's talk about the free thought groups that you can join right here in Knoxville while we're waiting for Wombat, and we'll start our topic once we get through with those announcements. First, there's the Atheist Society of Knoxville, founded in 2002. We're in the 16th year. ASK now has over 850 members, and you can find us online at knoxvilleatheist.org. Or you can go to meetup.com and search for us there by just typing in Knoxville Atheists. It's just that simple. Even Google will respond correctly if you put it there. Also, you have you can join ASK in person at our weekly meetups, which happens every Tuesday evening, Barley's Tap Room and Pizzeria in the Old City, where we can get together for food, drink, and conversation. Everyone is welcome, as long as you don't come to preach, proselytize, provoke, or punch. Thank you, Atheist Experience. You were there last night. We had our meetup there, as we do every Tuesday. However, we just moved back to Barley's. We've been gone from meeting there for about a year. We've been trying other places in Knoxville, but you just can't beat Barley's. So we have come home to roost. So if you live in the downtown area, it should be a short little walk for you to join us every Tuesday for happy hour, food, drinking, conversation. By the way, if you don't live in Knoxville, you can still go to Meetup and search for an atheist group in your town. Don't find one? Start one. Another large free-thinking group here in Knoxville are the Rationalists of East Tennessee. They've been around for more than 20 years. RET has bi-weekly presentations and discussions on the Pellissippi State campus near Hardin Valley Road. They meet the first and third Sundays in the Goins Administration Building Cafeteria Annex. And if that's too much to remember, just go to rationalist.org and click on Upcoming Events. There's also the Sunday Assembly, which started in England a few years ago and now has spread around the world. It's a no-God church setting for those who no longer believe in gods but still like the fellowship of a church-type gathering. They only meet once a month on the fourth Sunday at this time, but it's downtown near the World's Fair site in the International Building. Just go down there on the fourth Sunday around church time. its hours are between like 10 and 12. So go down there, look for the happy people going in to congregate on Sunday without being religious about it. Have you ever been to the Sunday Assembly?
I have not.
No? I used to go. I did music for them for a while. I played the guitar and sang, believe it or not. But it wasn't hymns, but it was just any song that fit a theme that they were having, like life or laughter or love, you know, that type of thing. It was fun.
My Sundays are sacred. I sleep.
You sleep?
Oh.
I thought you were going to go on by saying, I sleep in, then I do this, then I do that. You just stopped at sleep. That's fine. No, that's one of the major benefits of being an atheist is you get to sleep in on Sunday and you get an automatic 10% pay rise. Okay, it's not quite the last group, yeah. The Secular Student Alliance, which has programs to give camaraderie and community to any free-thinking high school or college student who would like to be involved in the free-thinking movement or would just like to find other free-thinkers to hang with. Everybody needs like-minded friends, and atheists are no different. Okay, earlier in the show we talked about the TV show, which is going on right now, and we talked about that. So I guess that's about it for all the announcements. Peggy, you brought the topic tonight. It was something about masculinity and American male role models.
And what it means to be masculine in today's society and how religions played a role in it.
Okay.
I remember as young as maybe 16 or 17, I may be telling on myself here, but I was a child of the 70s, and the women's movement was, of course, a big thing then, and we were watching various tennis matches and such, the war of the sexes, as it were. And so there was a lot being talked about equality and that sort of thing. And I remember, because my father wasn't real excited about the concept.
What concept was that?
The concept of women's equality
Any
way, shape, or form. I remember thinking back then, what would that mean for men? And how would it change their role in society? What would they have to do differently? How would they have
for women to achieve equality?
Yes.
What would it mean to men?
Yeah, it can't be much easier for men than it is for women for us to achieve some form of social equity. There are things that in my parents' day and even in my adolescence that were considered just normal. Men are the ones who initiate social interactions with women. Men are the economic providers. and protectors, that sort of thing. And as I've moved forward in my life, I don't think that has changed as much as it should have, but it certainly has changed some. And of course, now here we are in the 21st century, and we have concepts such as gender fluidity and just essentially it would have been very alarming when I was a child to see a transgendered person out in public. Now...
And you were a child of the...
70s.
Okay.
And so...
Remember, it's not a TV show. I've got to fill it in for the audience.
Right. So as I grew up in a fairly progressive environment in the shadow of a university, not unlike Knoxville, but even probably more progressive, because there wasn't a huge religious influence where I lived. So there wasn't a lot of open hostility to these ideas, but they also weren't present. So maybe there was, and I just wasn't aware of it. But I know that these things have occurred to me throughout my lifetime, but I've never really had the opportunity to sit down and discuss it philosophically with men who weren't
sensitive about it.
Yes.
Oversensitive.
Yes. Oversensitive, yeah. I think might have been the key word there, because yeah. Most of them immediately have their masculinity threatened if you start discussing any kind of progressive ideas about
strong
how,
women.
Yeah, strong women
and
should
equality
be
equality for women.
Just
I would think that it would have a parallel in race relations, because for a couple of centuries, the white race has had a privileged position. Hello, hi, Wombat. I'm going to put you on here and let you join us here in just a second. Okay, because, the male has also enjoyed a privileged position in the gender society.
Mm-hmm.
But white males, have a really privileged one. And then you turn around and say, well, women need equal rights, and the non-whites need equal rights, too. They may feel like they're being attacked from two sides. But the thing of it is, they don't realize that what a position of privilege that they've enjoyed all these decades. So what do you think about that? What do you think that maybe they feel attacked because of the privileged role?
Well, I've thought about that quite a bit too, because I've watched a lot of men, and these are not particularly well educated, or men who have
got it now.
Yeah, we got you.
There you go.
Okay, we were just Peggy was just talking about the privileged role that males, particularly white males, have had in society. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I've watched a couple of the men in my life go through a very strange thing in the last 20 years, 25 years or so, where they have become, I'm just going to say, screaming racists because of they have this feeling that somehow or another someone else gaining rights takes away their rights.
Rather than leveling all boats.
Right. I suspect somehow the same thing has happened with gender equality as well. That somehow or another they feel like other people being able to do their thing takes away something from the privilege of being a white male in our society. I don't see how that's going to happen anytime soon. Particularly in our current environment, but I'm not standing in their shoes, so something has got them terrified, and I'd like to be able to understand that a little bit better so that I could hold their hand and calm them down a little, mm-hmm. but I don't know, I don't even know how to come at that. A knee-jerk reaction is just to slap them like an hysterical...
Oh, yeah, that'll help, thanks.
Yeah, and so it just doesn't... my knee-jerk reaction is not always very helpful in these situations. But I wonder what it's going to take to convince them that that everyone having the same opportunities just means that the best of us get to be in the right positions. I've had people say, like the current backlash against intellectualism and intellectuals in general. And I just blink at these people and say, do you want a plumber giving you a bypass? I mean, that doesn't make any sense. You want well-trained people in positions, you know, as doctors and lawyers and teachers and things of that nature. And I fail to see how the color of their skin or their genitalia plays any role in that whatsoever.
Ooh.
And yet somehow you, when you're talking to someone like my children's father, for instance, who just loses his mind when he sees, for instance, he lives where there are apparently, there's a large Muslim population, and or at least a large Muslim population for Eastern Washington. And he just loses his mind. He stops making any rational sense whatsoever, and it literally looks like a YouTube supporter, a YouTube video of a Trump rally. It just, he stops making any rational sense at all, and he just starts babbling nonsense. He said ridiculous things like, oh, they just go out and buy sports cars with food stamps. Well, I had to feed his children with food stamps because he didn't pay his child support. And his 14-year-old daughter explained to him that you can't do that with food stamps. And then he just sputtered and had nothing.
Yeah. Well, he's got his ear to these lines that his fellow conservatives, right-wing people feed to him. And he just buys it lock, stock, and barrel. Without questioning, and then he turns around and spews it out again, and then wonders why he's wrong. You know, why a 14-year-old child can correct him, because he doesn't really go to check any of this stuff.
Well, he is very angry that other people are successful, and I'm using him as an example, but it's very much broader than him, because I see it. I've now crossed this country twice and lived in many different states. And this is a condition that I've seen repeatedly, where these men just don't seem... It's like, if I can't beat it down or have sex with it, I don't know what to do with it.
Yeah.
And
dominate it,
yeah.
In other words.
And I don't understand why...
That's a problem.
Is it just lack of education?
For them.
Is it lack of understanding?
Maybe what? Can I ask him something?
Please, Wombat, go
You're
ahead.
You're kind of fuzzy. Can you stand closer to the mic?
Thanks for calling me Wombat. By the way, I don't believe we've been introduced. My name's Ty. You can also call me Wombat. That's cool. What was your name again?
Peggy!
Okay, cool. Is there a chance that we actually met before? That'd be cool.
On Facebook, we've crossed paths a time or two.
Oh, okay, cool. So, just make sure, like, we're talking about, like, how there is definitely a correlation between, I guess, like, power and a particular race and gender, or that's associated with people who have power? Is that typically, is that in a nutshell, or is that fair?
Or privilege.
It seems to be, yeah, privilege in general, yeah.
I'm wondering, is there any cases that are exceptions to the rule, or does every single white man have privilege over any other type of person?
Well, I don't know. I can only speak to my own somewhat limited experience. And I say that a little tongue-in-cheek because my experience isn't all that limited. I am 53 years old, and as I said, I've crossed the country twice. I grew up in Alaska, and I had my first child in Maryland. So I've seen a few things. I've been a few places. I've had a few experiences. And
I guess I've seen a lot. I've seen a lot too. I can almost like, you know, generally I'd almost like see, I with the information that I have, I'd be like, yeah, I can see where you're coming from. Definitely. I mean, you can look at the Senate and you can see examples of white males all over the place. Very little women representation and very little diversity. But I'm wondering, like, if you were to have a scenario where you have like a white male and like a someone else, is it just the fact, like, is there anything that's in common with the Is there a possibility that you could be a white male and have no power, or like a white male and not be privileged? Is that a possibility?
If I may speak to that, I think that you're going to have, in our society, a white male is going to have power. They may not realize it, but it's there. It's a byproduct of them being a white male in their society. They may not realize it or recognize it until it's pointed out to them. But I think that they do. Ooh. They do have that.
I think you'll. You'll find, to some extent, now, it kind of goes white male. And if you were to walk into a situation where something was going on that was socially objectionable to most people's eyes, like a disabled person is being bullied by a bunch of, quote, street toughs or something, you know, something that everyone could point to and say, oh, no, this is not a right thing. A white male is going to go, oh, no, you can't do that, and blah, 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 blah. Whereas...
Does that happen in every case?
No. No, because a lot of them are cowards and wouldn't do anything. But I just as a kind of general example. And whereas any male would probably step in and say something. Now, I'm not exactly what you would call a shrinking violet, so I tend to come at everything mouth first. And
so, Peggy, sorry.
That's okay. I would say something, but I would know going into it that I am not coming at it from an advantage, that I'm going into it disadvantaged.
That makes sense. I'm wondering if every single white male has power. Is there a way to determine, like, is there a way to, like, measure that for, like, the white people who have power, who are males, who have a lot of power versus the ones who could be in prison? Is there a way to, like,
You could be in a room with six people. Some of them would feel that you have a presence, a privilege, and some of them wouldn't. You've got a strong role model and you're a female and you have high self-worth, as you should, then you may not feel that this person has the privilege that he does. But if you're a female who doesn't have that self-image, say a normal person, a normal girl in America, as we teach them their roles growing up, we don't teach them to be strong in the presence of males. We teach them to give the male deference, and especially if you're a brown or black woman in the presence of a white male. I'm speaking right off the shoulder, but in a room, you say, can you measure this? I think that you're going to get a different measurement from every person that's in the room. Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm saying. Okay. Peggy, would you agree with that?
Yeah, very much so. Very much so. And I can tell you that in my lifetime, this has changed over time. I can tell you that the reactions that I had to certain social situations involving men were very different than the reactions that my daughter has to similar situations. Whereas I had to learn how to protect myself because I was taught that, excuse me, that young ladies are seen and not heard. They don't draw attention to themselves. They very quietly sit in the corner and get assaulted is what happens. Whereas with my daughter, I started from the time that she was born teaching her that she is less than no one on this earth. And anybody ever puts a hand on her, she has my permission and everybody else's permission to rip that arm off and beat them to death with it. So it is very much a question of perspective. And if you're sitting in a room full of women from my generation, depending on their experience, most of them are going to tell you that we were all taught to just ignore them. They'll go away. Boys will be boys. They don't know any better. Forgive
them. Locker room talk.
Locker room talk. Oh, one of my favorites. Mm-hmm. And the girls my daughter's age, my daughter just turned 22, will use a plethora of colorful language that I absolutely adore. And tear a brand new orifice in them. And it is behavior I heartily approve of.
And with that, we're going to have to take a break. We're at the bottom of the hour. This is time for station identification. Gather your thoughts, go to the bathroom, do whatever you need to do. And we'll probably be back in about 5 minutes. But you might want to stick around and listen to the song we're going to play. This is going to be Quiet Company. It's called The Easy Conference.
Yeah, my favorite.
Liar! You're listening to the Digital Free Thought Radio Hour on WOZO 103.9 LPFM in Knoxville, Tennessee. Feel free to join in on the conversation at 865-333-5937. That's 865-333-5937. And now, back to the show. Digital Free Thought Radio Hour.
Simply the best.
And welcome back to the show. This is Daughter 5, Peggy, and Wombat. Hello, Wombat. Are you still there with us?
Hey, I'm the Wombat.
Okay, cool. And where we left off, well, I think we better turn off this noise machine. We were talking about white, men in general and white men in our society. We were talking about how the people of power in this world are generally men, generally white men. And if you look at any gathering of government representatives anywhere in the world today, you see a gathering of men. So that's where we were before the break. And Peggy, if you'd like to go back to your topic and elaborate a little bit on it. And Wombat, I think you're ready to weigh in yourself.
Absolutely. Go ahead,
Wombat. I just want to learn more about the position because I think it's really cool. And more power to you, absolutely. I'm sorry for all the things you like to do. But it sounded like from our conversation, you were still open to, like, you know, learning more information and maybe, like, changing, not necessarily absolutely change your mind, like, from black to white, but at least being more open to more nuance with regard to, you know, white men. Was that accurate, or is that...
Well, certainly. I wouldn't say specifically that my opinions apply only to white men. I would say that they broadly apply to men across the board.
Not every single white man is applicable to this worldview that you have.
Well,
is that accurate?
How do I put this? I would say it's a spectrum.
I love it.
That men tend to fall somewhere on that spectrum. But they very rarely understand the level of privilege that they hold, because they've literally been steeped in it since they were born. They just don't even get what I'm talking about, they breathe it.
In a broad sense, you say, like, white men enjoy a position of power,
right?
Other races and genders don't have the opportunity to benefit from.
It goes white and then men. White men and then all men. For instance, when I was in high school, I am not athletic by any stretch of anyone's imagination. And less so even when I was young. And because I was overly blessed in certain regions of my body, I had a PE teacher who...
Radio, hey.
Yeah. I had a PE teacher who, I'm not sure if it offended him or attracted him or exactly what the problem was, to be perfectly honest with you. But he didn't like the fact that I didn't enjoy running laps so that all the boys could stand in the middle of the track and watch me. And his solution to the problem, when I would stop running and just walk instead, was he would run up behind me. Now, please, let me explain to you. This was a very large, very muscular, and I have to say extremely handsome black man. And he would run up behind me and put an arm around me and grab one of my arms and, like, run drag me around the track. Today... that would get him sued and possibly jailed, hard to tell. However, back then, that it was perfectly all right. Not only was it all right for him to do that, but it was perfectly all right for the entire wrestling team and the football team to stand in the middle of the track and watch me run around and make comments about my body. Same thing in the weight room.
Peggy, would you say you then have like a wealth of personal experiences that led you to like this high confidence?
A wealth, sir. So I have had to strive.
May I throw out a hypothetical question?
Sure.
Completely hypothetical. I'm just wondering if you had a different set of personal experiences, maybe ones that didn't that weren't nearly as harsh. And I'm sorry for you having these, but like if you did have a different set of personal experiences, would you still hold this conclusion as frequently as you do currently?
Okay, what is likely to have happened, just now, this is purely from the perspective of the time and place that I came from, and I should point out that the women in my family are famously codependent. I would have probably come out on this end of it much more passive. I would be...
What's that word?
Passive.
Office? Passive.
Active?
Yes.
Passive.
Right.
I would be less likely to call out nonsense. I would be less likely to stand up for myself. I would have been more like I was as an adolescent. I would have just kept my head down, kept my mouth shut, and carried on like nothing was happening. Because...
So you're saying you'd still believe it just as much. You just wouldn't be able.
I just wouldn't be able to voice it.
And yeah. Can we say safely say that he came from a religious household?
I did not.
You did not.
No.
Okay.
No.
I was just wondering. This is an atheist calling show, and I'm trying to tie it back into it. I know that the Bible is rife with misogyny, and I was kind of wondering if that was what led to your family's orientation as far as men being powerful and privileged and stuff, or if it's just the general society.
Strangely,
influences.
No. What led to it was the fact that my family are loggers, and they were raised in the backwoods of everywhere. So
I should have had the logging song.
Yes,
queued up.
The lumberjack song.
Yeah.
There's something really interesting you just said. Could I just hear what you would think about? You had said that, like, you had a wealth of personal experience that led you to this conclusion. But then when we look into, like, if you had different kinds of sets of personal experiences, you'd still have the same conclusion, but you just wouldn't be as active. So I guess what I'm really trying to figure out is what really got you to those conclusions. Because it seems your personal experience, whether you had it or not, isn't really affecting the confidence position. So really, what's, like, behind the personal experience? Like, what's really keeping you to this high level of confidence?
Honestly, just continual experience. Now,
more personal experiences?
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
It just continues on in the same vein.
If in the event that it did, I'm not saying that's the case, but if it didn't happen on a continual basis, would you still hold these beliefs?
Possibly not. It's not that every man that I meet is a knuckle-dragging Neanderthal. It is more subversive than that. It goes back to the privilege thing. They are unaware of what they're doing most of the time.
I think we have a really cool model though. What would you say? I'm sorry. I apologize.
No, that's okay.
But I'm saying, what would you say is a good model of a man who isn't a model of this idea of a misogynist?
Well,
like what's a good example of a white male who's not doing the things that you are?
That is
that
part
you see other white males.
Of what brings me here tonight is that is the very question I wanted to ask. Is how do we raise a new breed of man? What do we do to eradicate the harm that religion and misogyny have done to our men and turn them into thinking rational creatures rather than reactive apes?
instead of, I guess, posing it as a question, how about I ask you, like, what sort of experiences would you need to go through in order for you to reduce your confidence that this model now does exist?
Like, I'm not entirely
certain.
One thing the last few years has taught me, as I sit and I watch what a lot of people would consider hero after hero being shot down by their own hubris, what you do in public is seen by everyone. What you do in private may only be seen by a few, but will eventually come out in public. And it will bite you in your little shiny hiney. So
you would like to be more private and public act? You would like to see more public and private acts? Like, what exactly?
I would like to see everyone to understand that, okay, I used to tell my children that with privilege comes responsibility. This is what I used to tell them. It's very Spider-Man-y, I know, but you can't go to the movies unless your room is clean, sort of thing. You have to break it down that far. That it's a privilege to go to the movies. Your responsibility is to keep your room clean. It's the same thing. It is a privilege to lead our country. It's your responsibility to keep your psyche clean. You can't go around being a horrible human being and then expect the world to look up to you as, I hate to use the overused term role model, but that's what it boils down to. The sports figures are notorious for this. They have no self-control, and of course, you know, aren't taught any because they're given a ton of money when they're very, very young, and no outline on how to behave themselves, and they just go out and buy a bunch of new cars and spend it on
Peggy. We know like what sports people do, and I feel you. I'm wondering though, like, what's a good way for you to know that the confidence that you have is justified? Not so much that you can confirm that it's true, but that you can recognize when you're not correct. Because if you're not able to recognize that, that could be an issue. So I'm wondering, I'm not saying that you're not, I'm just wondering what good ways that we could test this model.
No, it is very much an issue. And it is something that I have had some concerns about, because, I mean, what happens if I am so afraid that every man I meet is going to be like every man I've met?
And I know you don't think that. I know you don't think that.
Luckily, no, or I'd never leave the house. But
same here.
It's a gross generalization.
But I'm wondering, like, but like, what the way that we could like have like a model of this is what it looks like when a guy's breaking the model or the mold, and this is what it looks like when we see in the news, when we see our athletes act this way, when we see our elected officials act this way. But like, what's the good model that we could point to? What would be a good sign of when you know, like, that's the example that people should follow? Like, do you have any examples like that?
Only to my own personal experiences, to say that almost every man I knew before I was 40 years old, and just flat put a stop to it in my presence, has made comments about passing women's personal appearances. They want to discuss their weight, they want to discuss the way they look, they want to discuss, like, they have some special power to be the arbiter of all good taste. Some special privilege.
Peggy, there's no contest. You've already won the I've Met the Most Horrible Men in Kentucky Award, for sure. But I guess I'm wondering is, like, if we aren't able to, like, figure out what it would look like if we're wrong, Well, how can we be so confident that we're right? And I guess what's the model of someone that breaks the mold that you presented? Can you recognize what that looks like?
When it becomes so abhorrent to both men and women, because I'm not saying that that is the sole domain of men, I'm just saying that they tend to say it out loud to anyone who's around. Women tend to say it to other women about other women, so that's reprehensible behavior as well. But
like, we have examples of men doing bad things. What's an example of men doing good things to the point where you can be confident that's a good man? Can you tell me that?
When he doesn't care who his daughter dates. When he doesn't care, when he's not saying, punching his son in the arm and saying, way to go. When he's out chasing girls on a Saturday night and then trying to lock his daughter up.
Hey, we're getting back to bad points again.
We're
like some positive role models. And
I'm trying to think of some, and I'm falling woefully short, I'm afraid. It comes down to just ways of thinking, and those are not always things that are readily
visible. I think he's looking for individuals. Like, I would say Obama was a good role model for his daughters and for the people around him.
Yeah.
And there are others like him. I think that Ty is just asking for role models and for you to name a few.
Yeah.
Oh.
And, like, what do they have in common that make it good that they are examples of non-misogynist, good white males? Like, just because we know it's not all white males, so, like, what's the exceptions to the rule? What are these outliers? What are these models look like? That way we can better recognize the hits and the misses.
I have to say, overall, that some of my favorite male role models are some of my favorite atheist role models, and they are Stephen Fry and Penn Jillette. And
cool.
Listening to them talk, I've listened to Stephen Fry for years, both his early comedy on British television and some of his more recent work where he just goes out and speaks to a group of people more or less off the cuff. He's a brilliant speaker, and when listening to him speak about people, about humanity in general, is it's beautiful. It's just heartrending.
That's great.
Listening to Penn speak is a little bit different because he's a lot rougher in his speech.
Abrasive, right?
But he doesn't. There are just certain separations that he doesn't make. Male, female, sexuality is meaningless to him. Gender is more or less meaningless to him, unless you don't have any clothes on. He's a different kind of man. And while I take his advice very, very much to heart when he says never meet your heroes, because they might not be quite as nice as you think they are, those are the ones that I turn to that at least have a public face that appears thus far.
Could I ask a question? What is it about those qualities that you see in, like, someone like Penn Jillette who doesn't care about, doesn't make these arbitrary separations between, like, races and gender and stuff? Why is that valuable?
Because he treats each human being as a human being. Each person on their own merits, not on the merits of the person.
Not based on their color or their gender.
Right.
Do you think if Penn Jillette said, for example, all black women are morons, that would be taken well? I don't want to put it that way, but like, could you see the benefit of the mindset of a person who's a role model for how other people should be, that they don't make generalizations about a person's race and gender?
Right. Yeah, I think that's a very nice way to sum it up. There just are not a lot of gross generalizations in the way he deals with things.
Dr. I'm wondering, do you think all white men are misogynists is likewise a gross generalization?
Yes, yes, okay. It is, and I'm aware of that.
Okay. Hey, I think I appreciate the chat. Anyway, I think it's really cool. I think now at least you have a good criteria of what good role models look like, and you can recognize some really good ones. And I like Ken Jillette too. I think he's hilarious, and I love his passion for not just like magic, but like the mechanics behind a really good trick. I really appreciate listening to him about stuff like that. So there's definitely something positive that we can take from like all sides. Knuckleheads are going to be knuckleheads, mm-hmm. and I hate. I no one likes knuckleheads, regardless of their like gender or race. And there definitely tends to be more knuckleheads. If we were to do a bell curve, maybe there's more knuckleheads of a particular race and gender. But I do think it's cool to have that open mindset where you don't make those, you know, kind of delineations and just treat knuckleheads for the knuckleheads they are and don't sweat them and look for good examples of people who you should like be paying attention to. What do you think about that?
Well, I think that that's an excellent suggestion, and you wouldn't be the first person to make it.
Daughter, how are you feeling?
Oh, fine. Just listening and enjoying it. Getting kind of close to the top of the hour. It looks like... did I lose your call? Are you still with us?
Sounds like we lost him.
Yeah, I think we lost Ty. He'll have to call back in, I guess. There he is. And what happened to you?
Sorry about that. Okay. Hold on a second.
You're still on speaker. You're not going out. Okay, see if that works.
All right, can you hear me?
Yeah, much better.
All right. Sorry for disconnecting randomly. Sorry about that.
It's okay.
Peggy, I love talking to you. I hope you can come back again. And I really want to learn more. You know, I appreciate your stories. And I'm sorry for all this heartache. I hope the conversation that I had was useful or fun at least. And I'd love to hear from you again.
It was. Thank you, Wombat. I appreciate it.
And I learned stuff too. I thoroughly enjoyed hearing y'all go back and forth on this, and some of the questions you asked were pretty valid, and I think she gave very good answers to them. We've come up to about 3 minutes before the end of the show. One thing I'd like to say that we didn't talk very much about was the misogyny that you find in religion. The misogyny that we see in society generally throughout the world has been based on their religions. If anybody could... name a religion that doesn't have misogyny built into it, I'd like him to call the show and let's talk about that. We're here every Wednesday at 7 o'clock, so call in next week and let's do some talking about that particular thing. But it's rife in the Bible and therefore it's rife in our society and therefore it gets passed down to our generations from father to son. And a lot of it's based on the Word of God. So we need to take that into consideration and realize we don't need to be there. Religion is all BS to me anyway, and I've got good reason to think so, and I put them in my book and my website, so go to digitalfreethought.com and read all about it. Any last words before we go?
No, and thank you for coming on the show. We really appreciate it.
Okay, let me see if I can find this outro. One thing I'd like to say is that don't sweat the afterlife, don't sweat going to hell. Everybody's going to somebody else's hell. Just live a good life, and a good life will be its own reward. Say bye, y'all.
Bye, y'all.
Bye, y'all.
And I'll see you next week. Daughter, out.
You're listening to the Digital Free Thought Radio Hour on Wozo 103.9 LPFM in Knoxville, Tennessee. Feel free to join in on the conversation at 865-333-5937. That's 865-333-5937. And now, back to the show.
Digital Free Thought Radio Hour.
Simply the best.